This is CliffCentral.com.
Fear's a powerful thing. I mean, it's got a lot of firepower. If you can figure out a way to wrestle that fear to push you from behind rather than stand in front of you, that's very powerful.
Multiplying leadership. Moving society the millennial way.
You don't want to end up going after goals and dreams and neglect yourself.
Welcome to the Youth Leadership Platform with your host, Bongani Tau.
12, 11, 10.
More soldiers than you did.
Youth Leadership Platform.
Okay, just like that, it's another Feel Good Monday, and you are listening to your the show with the most. It's the Youth Leadership Platform with your host, Bongani Tau. We are so happy to be joined by you today on the Youth Leadership Platform. We hope to keep up our track record of bringing you the brightest, most brilliant and innovative minds that are shaping the world in different fields and different industries and in different ways. Today's show as well promises to be such an one show, and we're bringing someone very significant in the music space, someone quite young, someone you've heard on the radio, someone who has created a genre of music called Neo Soul 2.0. She is or was born in Botswana, but currently resides in South Africa. So obviously listening to the show, you can hear that I've just introduced an element or a sound in the background. Serenading us is my guest today. Beautiful, 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 and very powerful. You'll get to hear from her just now. And that is Mpho Sibina. Without wasting any further time, let me introduce you to Mpho Sibina. Mpho Sibina, welcome to the Youth Leadership Platform.
Hi, and thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
No, awesome, awesome. It's great to have you. I think I'll have this in the background, cool, because we want to hear no evil and see no evil and probably talk no evil, right?
Yeah. Only good things, only positive
vibes. Only positive vibes. Are you enjoying Johannesburg?
You know what? I really am. I really love it here. The people are so amazing. The women are so beautiful. There's so many things to do, so many different sounds, flavors. I love it. I love it. I love it here.
Awesome, awesome. But the weather is quite unpredictable these days.
It is.
Because you think we're nearing the end of winter, but now...
Yeah, that's what I thought on Tuesday.
Some days
and
winter
day was like gray and you know what? Yeah. I enjoy winter. I love winter fashion.
So, oh really?
Yeah, I'm down for whatever really.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Okay. We'll begin at the beginning. I got to watch you perform not so long ago, a couple of days ago. And you know, with a lot of artists, and I think it's a common thing or common observation to have as a person that there's certain artists where when you hear a studio version, like what's playing in the background, and when you hear the person singing live, it's two completely different people,
okay.
Two completely different sounds. But what I appreciate about you is the quality of the studio version of any of the music you've put out, whether it's the mashups or your EP, which we're going to talk about, and the music that you've created. It's consistent.
Thank you.
Right,
I'll
voice.
Take that as a compliment.
It's very consistent, and I really appreciate that about your art and aesthetic. And I guess to begin off, we'll start with a Youth Leadership Platform trivia, right?
Okay.
Just to get to know you.
Okay.
So the first question I want to ask is, what does your sound smell like? So a particular smell from your past, and attach it to a memory and tell us about that. So what does your past smell like?
Okay, well, since we're going to focus on positive things, so I'll say it would smell like rain.
Okay.
I'm from Botswana. We're really big on bula. Our currency is called bula.
Yes.
When we close off ceremonies, we greet each other, kapula, and, you know, it's really celebrated. So, so I'd say it would smell like rain. We love rain over there. I love rain. I love the smell of it. And, yeah, it just reminds me of home and just pureness and,
And it's interesting that, well, you haven't had a lot of that in recent times, right? Because are we aligned in terms of weather-wise between home and here?
No, not really.
Is it raining a lot though now?
Yeah, this year we've seen a lot of beautiful rains.
Okay, so the drought season
is done. We're flourishing. There's so much water. It's amazing. Yeah.
Okay, that's cool. That's cool. What does it sound like?
My music?
Your past.
My past. My past sounds, oh my gosh, it sounds like family. It sounds like Africa. It sounds like Bob Marley and Sade.
Oh, interesting.
And it sounds like, family, laughter, and just good times.
Interesting. Yeah. Take us through that.
I grew up with a family of music lovers. I was surrounded by people. I was heavily influenced by the people who were around me growing up, and that's, my family. I had an aunt who was really big on Bob Marley, and, I inherited that, from her. My sister also, she's 6 years older than me, so, she introduced me to a lot of sounds, that 90s R&B and hip-hop, and, I guess it influenced me a lot. She was going through, the Mariah Careys and the Soul for Real, so I also inherited that. And my dad is also quite a music lover and, went through a whole Kaifa Semenya and that Sarafina soundtrack.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. Okay, okay.
Yeah, so, a lot of my family shaped.
What does it taste like?
My music would taste like...
Well, your past still.
Oh, my past.
Yes, yes.
No, I'm here like me.
So we've gone through what it smells like, which is rain.
Yeah.
And what it sounds like, which is a lot of African
love,
infused elements and sounds, right?
Yeah.
What does it taste like, lastly?
So this is my childhood.
Yes.
It tastes like milk.
Did you have a lot of that?
I had a lot of it.
Okay.
And that was like my favorite thing ever.
And what's crazy and interesting is, there's these funny phrases that we use for people who are light skinned like you.
Okay.
To say exactly.
So I say, it tastes like milk. I was huge on milk.
Yeah.
I was a milk queen.
Okay.
And I also had a sherbet addiction.
Oh really?
Yep.
Interesting.
My aunt still calls me Madi Sherbet, which is like sherbet lady. I love it.
Oh, okay. So whereabouts in Botswana did you grow up?
So I was born in a small town outside of the capital, and my mom says I was born there because the hospital facilities were great at that time, called Mutshidi.
Oh, okay.
And then I moved around a little bit, maybe for like the first 6 years of my life. I was in a place called Francistown. Then we lived in Soa Town, which was like mostly a mining town with my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And it's close to the Makgadikgadi pans, which are these huge, vast, plain salt pans. And
oh, yeah?
Really dope. And we'd go out there on the weekends. There'd be flamingos.
Oh, wow.
And it was really beautiful, beautiful sunsets and stuff. And then I moved to the capital, which is Gaborone, and I've been there ever since. Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
And how many siblings do you have?
Well, I come from a blended family.
Okay.
My mom is married twice. So from her first marriage, she has one. I have a sister.
Okay.
And then she got...
Older or younger?
Older, 6 years older, the sister I was telling you about.
Okay.
And then she married my stepdad, who came into the marriage with three boys. And then, so then it was five of us. Then they had my younger brother, who kind of joins us all together.
Mm-hmm.
And then my dad, he has two boys.
So it's about seven. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. And how is that? How does that dynamic play out? Because I know with siblings, especially looking at my family, but we're not going to go into that.
Okay,
but how does it play out with your siblings?
Great. I have different relationships with all of them, so it's pretty awesome. I also enjoy, having a lot of brothers. It's been dope. I don't know. It makes me feel kind of special. Yeah, so it's been great, you know, different dynamics. I have a younger brother. We have a really great relationship. You know, I try and guide him and teach him a lot. I learn a lot from my sister. And then I have my stepbrother. We are almost the same age, so we've kind of got that special bond.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and, you know, I have my...
You relate to a lot of things.
Yeah,
actually.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, my older stepbrothers are really dope. Yeah, so...
What is that one important lesson that you've learned from your sister?
From my sister? My sister, you know, when I was younger, she was just like the coolest person ever I had ever seen, you know, marching to the beat of her own drum. And I guess, you know, that was, it kind of inspired me to, you know, just be true to myself and who I am and just like, you know, march to the beat of my own drum. So, yeah. I think that's the greatest lesson I ever learned from my sister.
Let's get to know your parents. What are their names?
My mother's name is Gidibonye Alidi. She's now an Alidi.
Okay.
And her maiden name is Solomon. And
okay.
And my mom is like she's a hustler, you know. And
yeah.
I think I got that from her. Very bright, very vibrant. Loves to dance. I love dancing, although I'm terrible at it. Yeah, so that's what she does. My stepdad is an army man, a lawyer for the Botswana Defense Force. Very cool, well-traveled guy.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah, he's pretty awesome. Yeah.
Wow, okay. Yeah. So now, in primary, did you always dream about getting into music, or what were your aspirations as a young girl?
As a young person, I knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur. I remember in what were those school books called? Like the, you know, at the end of the year, they had those books with all the grades and then like little codes of what you want to do and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yearbook.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Yeah. I remember in the yearbook, I think I was in standard 2, they asked me what I want to be when I grow up, and I said a shopkeeper. It's just that I didn't know the term of just running my own.
Okay.
Thing.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
So, yeah, I think I always wanted to be an entrepreneur, and then... I love fashion, so by the end of high school, I wanted to go and study fashion.
Okay.
And Botswana's dope that they sponsor a lot of Botswana students.
Oh.
Yeah. So at that point, when I finished high school, I wanted to leave the continent. That's what I wanted to do.
Oh,
and my
okay.
sister was studying in Malaysia at the time, and you know, I just wanted to be where she was. and then I applied for fashion, and they're like, okay, if you want to study fashion, we will take you to Durban, but you can't study fashion in Malaysia. So then I was like, nope, I want to leave the continent. So I basically looked up something that would take me out of the continent.
Sure.
And I ended up studying international business. I have an honors degree in international business.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Where did you study that?
In Malaysia. I was
oh.
in Malaysia for about five years of
interesting.
My life. Yeah.
What are some of the influences you got from there that I guess have shaped and you know, helped you to become the person you are today?
You know, Malaysia was... You know, it opened up my mind to a lot of things. First of all, it was a Muslim country.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of international students, you know, mostly I met a lot of people from Africa, other parts of Africa that I would have never, you know, got to meet and connect with on that level had I stayed at home, you know. So I was open up to a lot of different music and different cultures, different foods. And that came with also different sounds and, I really enjoy the indigenous sounds of, like, the world. I really enjoy that. So, yeah, it's kind of, influenced me a lot.
And then when do you come back to Botswana, and when do you start thinking and experimenting about the idea of getting into music?
Okay, so it was in Malaysia where I met the guy who had a studio, and I'd record at his place. I was just learning how to record, and I did like a lot of covers. So that gave me like a little insight into the whole recording and music world.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'd come home for holidays, I was friends with a lot of musicians back in Botswana. So, you know, I'd go into studio with them sometimes. I started dabbling in that world. And when I graduated, I went home and I was still messing around in studios until I met Favi, who was like the main producer of the project I just put out now. And yeah, we were working together for about a year, and that time I was working in corporate, well, I was in advertising.
Oh, okay.
And I got to a point where I felt like well, I just kind of questioned. I had like an introspective moment where I was like, okay, cool.
Sure.
What would happen if I gave my energies to the music, mm-hmm. you know, instead of this 9-to-5 job? So then I looked at my life. I'm like, I'm not married. I don't have any kids. I don't really have any
responsibilities. Like that.
Yeah, and my mm-hmm. parents were like, okay, cool. If that's what you want to do, we will. I mean, that's fine by us. And yeah.
So was it organic for you to start with mashups instead of starting to write your own music, or did you just stumble upon that?
You know, I had fun with the mashups, and I put them out at a point where I hadn't wrapped up my project yet, but then people kept seeing my name pop up, and it was like, okay, so you're a musician, where's the music, whatever. So I was like, okay, let me just put out these mashups and see what happens, mm-hmm. and just, you know, as a place to direct people to my music mm-hmm. online. Yeah, never would I have thought that be on Cliff Central.
And doing all these different interviews. Yeah. Which one was your first ever mashup?
The Boom Shaka and Erykah Badu mashup.
Oh, really?
Yes, that was my first.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how did that come about?
So
before you do that, I think let's give our listeners a taste of Mphosi Bina and that mashup that made everything make sense, right? This is Mphosi Bina. In this mashup, it's Erykah Badu meets Boom Shaka. The song Lerato. Enjoy. That was Mphosi Bina with her rendition of Lerato by Boom Shaka, with some elements from Erykah Badu's song. So you're about to take us through this particular mashup, and what happened here?
So growing up in the 90s, I was heavily influenced by Boom Shaka. They were my heroes. I thought they were amazing. Lebo Mathosa was super mm-hmm. awesome.
Well, Lebo Mathosa is from my hood. I'm just
saying. So I guess, you know, they kind of lived with me, you know, mm-hmm. you know, they kind of with me. So I was rehearsing for a show, and it was during rehearsals with the band, and, you know, everybody was taking a smoke break and everybody went outside. So I was just kind of lingering in the rehearsal space.
Okay.
And then my drummer at the time, for that event, Leroy, he went up to the keyboard and he started playing the keys
to
that song.
Okay.
Yeah. So then I was just there, then I was like, oh, you know, here's a mic. I started singing Lerato over it because Boom Shaka follows me. And then Mathosa just kind of floats around me.
Yeah.
So then, yeah, I just started singing that song. I'm like, okay, this actually sounds pretty cool.
And then you recorded
it. Sounds pretty cool. And then, you know, weeks later, I was like, that thing was really cool.
Yeah.
Let me lay it down, especially because, you know, there's so many online opportunities for artists for you to share your music mm-hmm. and share it with the world. I was mm-hmm. like, okay, SoundCloud, let me do that. And yeah, that's what I did.
Interesting. So when did you put this particular one out? 2017?
Not even 2017. Maybe like
2014 already.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Yeah. Okay. And after that, what was the reception, and how did that now define the next step for you?
Yeah, so The reception was really great. You know, my Facebook friends were picking it up. Okay, cool. It was awesome, awesome, and awesome. And then I think down the line, I started getting like some South African, you know, mentions on social media. I was like, oh, okay, cool, cool, cool. Because for me, I was like, okay, this is just, I'm in Botswana here.
Yeah,
I'm, you know,
it's going to be a Botswana thing.
Yeah,
and that's it.
Sure. It's just going to live on my Facebook. And yeah, then it just like, it just catapulted into just like this. I'm here. I'm on Central. Yeah, that's what happened.
From at this point now, you're getting all this traction for this particular one.
Mm.
So now, who are you looking at to cover next? Who were some of the artists that you were thinking about that? You know what, next?
Yeah.
I think I should do this artist and that other artist.
So after we did this, it got such great reception that I was doing these Thursday throwback things, which was the whole theme of these mashups. So after I did this one, I did Brenda Fassie cover of Too Late for Mama, and we merged it with a Fugees instrumental, which was lots of fun, and the reception on that was also pretty awesome.
Hmm.
Yeah, so it was kind of paying tribute to the people who kind of shaped my musical background.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about some of those people. Yes,
yeah.
Sorry to cut you on your tracks there. Who are some of the people that really you look up to as a musician?
As a musician.
Mm-hmm.
Brenda Fassie was pretty amazing, and you know what she did for music in Africa was just so awesome. Boom Shakalab Mathosa was a great part in my life, and then I was introduced to Sade. Well, I mean, I knew Sade, but I really connected with her at Lovers Rock. She really influenced me a lot. I just felt, you know, like the style of her music was really amazing, and it kind of influenced my style a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I love Bob Marley from, you know, my youth, and I loved his writing style and just how simple it was, but also very impactful. So I think that's really influenced my writing style as well. And yeah, and just how
you're from the 80s, and some of the people that you're mentioning are from before the 80s. So who was the person that introduced you to some of these artists?
You mean these artists that I've mentioned?
Yes,
now?
Yes.
Bob Marley, definitely my aunt. I mean, Brenda Fassie was everywhere when I was growing up. I didn't even think it was just like turn on the radio.
And she's there.
Yeah, she's there on
Weekend
TV.
Weekend special. Yeah.
Definitely my family. My family played a huge role in some of the stuff that I listened to. Yeah.
Mm. And what would you say as an artist was the most important lesson that you've learned? You know, common thread across all these different artists that have influenced you throughout listening to music?
What have I learned from them?
Yes.
I think, yeah, some of the artists that I like, I mean, I've, you know, influenced me are heavily known for just staying true to themselves.
Okay.
And yeah, I think that's just my major thing, just to stay true to myself and what it is that I want to do. I love how Brenda Fassie stayed true to herself, but also was always reinventing herself and not afraid to do that. So I also look forward to doing that. Yeah.
Mm, interesting. Mm. Before we get into Neo, what was your favorite mashup to do?
Aww.
Was it the first one? Which one?
So I go through phases, you know. Some days I really enjoy that song, my own music. So right now I'd say my favorite is the Brenda Fassie one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Too Late for Mama.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were to do a mashup right now, which artist, which song?
Oh my gosh, you're putting me on the spot.
I have to. Just anywhere in the world as well.
Yes, I would love to do, Magic Systems Premier Gao.
Interesting, okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
I'd like to go out. I mean, I feel like I'm such a obsessed with the continent of Africa.
Sure.
I want to just, you know, tap into other music from all over the continent. So I'd want to go up there somewhere.
Okay. and explore some of the ashars of this world.
Yes,
you know, we've got some amazing talent all over Africa.
Yeah.
So in the background, you've been working on a project, and you define your music as Neo-Soul 2.0.
Mm-hmm.
Can we define that before we move into your project?
Well, it was a term that was given to me by the people of the interwebs. I'm not too sure who gave us that term. But I think, somebody described it as a reconciliation of R&B.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like neo-soul, but just on a different tip.
Okay.
On a different, on a different level, I think,
Interesting. So now, you chose to title the project itself Neo.
Yes.
Which I think is a clever play on that Neo-Soul 2.0, right? Because how you spell Neo
is the same way
Neo. So Neo, why title it Neo?
So Neo ka Setswana means an offering or a gift.
Okay.
And my name Mpho also is a gift. So it was a play on my name and also my first offering, and also on neo newness and freshness, and also like, you know, we were speaking about the drought that we experienced in Botswana last year. There was this cyclone, heavy rains that came through, and they called the cyclone Dineo.
Dineo caused a lot of
I love Dineo. So
had an official hashtag for it on Twitter. Yes.
So I loved what it represented, and for me it was a blessing, you know. And for me, rain is a big thing being a Motswana. So it was a play on all of those things, Dineo. Now,
interesting. It's a gift on so many levels.
Yeah.
What kind of messaging have you embedded in this project? I mean, there's songs like Black Butterfly, which we'll get into now. Hear No Evil, See No Evil, which will also want to find out what they mean. But overall, looking at the project in its entirety, what's the messaging that's embedded there?
You know what? I just think the world just needs some peace and love and good vibes, and that's what I hope to spread with my music, if I can just make people feel better.
Okay.
Because, you know, we get caught up in so many negative thoughts, and there's, like, negative energies that we dwell on. So I just hope that my music is just that little piece of happiness and joy, and just try to uplift people. That's what I want to do with my music.
Hmm.
Yeah, so I'm trying to give that to the world.
Positivity. What were some of your external influences during the process of writing and recording and producing this particular project?
I definitely say Favi, my producer, who I worked with closely on this. I mean, he is talented on another level, and he really brought out the best in me, I think, musically, and we managed to produce amazing, amazing music. So,
there's a problem worldwide.
Yeah.
I mean, CD sales have changed to digital sales, and you look at a continent like Africa with a lot of countries that still battle with data prices. Just trusting or just doing business in the interwebs is a big problem.
Mm.
And these are some of the challenges that every artist comes into when they step into the music space. But have you built enough resilience to push through some of the challenges that lie ahead?
You know, I think it's important for us musicians or, you know, entrepreneurs just to diversify your income streams.
Okay.
Because we know that music is not... Well, there are challenges with music and all this, you know, data issues and stuff like that. So I think it's important for us to diversify, invest, so that we can also, because with the music, it's more of a passion thing, and it's, you know, I mean, I love it and I'll do it forever with it. You know, there's one person listening or 2 million. So, yeah, it's good to.
What are some challenges? What are some of the challenges that you've gone through in being in the music space?
I'd say maybe my biggest challenge was that, you know, I'm a musician first, but then also I'm an artist first, but then this music and art thing is a business.
Okay.
So I would just say all of us need to learn what's going on behind the scenes and, you know, learn the technical side to things. So I think that would have been the biggest challenge for me, but I'm learning as I go.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I'm learning a lot on the business side and what goes behind the scenes. Yeah.
What's next for you?
More music, definitely more music. I'm dying to share more music with people. That's just what makes me happy. Collaborations. I'm looking at collaborating with, you know, artists from all over the world, really.
I'm interested in asking a question okay. about that. Two or three artists that okay. You're like, you know what, if I could land a collaboration with this particular artist, mm-hmm. man.
Damian Marley.
Wow, okay.
I'd say Manifest.
Okay.
And yeah, I think that would be dope for me. Yeah.
Interesting. Mm. In South Africa right now, mm-hmm. with the pool of talent that we have,
yeah.
three artists that you look at and you're like, wow, they're doing amazing things. I yeah. actually like and admire them.
I love Nasty C.
Okay.
I think he's pretty amazing. I really, really, really love Nasty C. I love what Black Coffee's doing.
Okay.
It would be so dope to collaborate with him. And let me see, Tandi Samazwai. Yeah,
oh, wow.
On show.
Oh, she was at your show. So I guess the respect is mutual, huh?
Oh, my gosh, yes.
I'm surprised you didn't mention her then.
Yes.
For a collaboration.
Yeah, that's what that's the third mention.
Oh, okay. Yes. That's okay, cool. Okay.
Yeah.
As an artist, which I appreciate about as well your journey as a musician, that not only are you in the space battling through the challenges that are posed by the space, but you also want to bring as many people or as many musicians and artists as you possibly can with you. So you started a platform called Naked Soul Sessions.
Yes.
What's that about? Take us through that.
So Naked Soul Sessions is, you know, a live music platform that I established in Botswana in 2016, I believe. Yeah.
Okay.
And yeah, so it was just about, you know, local artists that aren't mainstream, creating that kind of platform for them, you know, to headline their own shows, because we don't, a platform like that didn't really exist.
Sure.
So that's what I wanted to do for Botswana and for Botswana's musicians in an intimate, live, you know, really, really intimate type of setup. Yeah. So that's the whole vibe behind it.
So you're planning to grow that and make
I would love to grow it. I would love to have a Naked Soul Session South Africa, Naked Soul Sessions Ghana, Naked Soul Sessions Zimbabwe. So yeah, that's what I plan to do.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, how do people get in touch with you and follow your journey?
I am on Instagram, Facebook as Mposibina, and on Twitter it's Mpo_Neo_Sibina. You can follow me on all those platforms and I'll keep you updated on shows, music. I'm also on SoundCloud, Mposibina, and across all digital music platforms, Mposibina now is the project.
That is Mposibina, everyone. So check out Neo on all music platforms. Listen to me.
People do that. Eh? I had someone come up to me and say, hey, are you Neo?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
Well, thank you so much for coming through
so
to the Youth Leadership
me.
Platform.
Thank you.
And we wish you all the best in your journey.
Thank you.
And in the background, that's Black Butterfly,
Black
right?
Butterfly, yes.
So it's at Simply Bongani across all social media platforms. Tell us who you want us to have next. Tell us what we're doing great and what we're not doing so great. It's at Simply Bongani as well for that, so that we can continue bringing you the best in people and guests that we have on the show, and delivering the greatest content, because that's what we're known for. It's the Youth Leadership Platform. Good day. God bless.
This is CliffCentral.com.